Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Jackson Blog Talk Radio Show on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, and on weekends, Saturday and Sunday. And this show is a honest show of honest discernment, of intellectual honesty, and it is not about of political rhetoric. However, I'm going to go into a few things introductory. First, I want to tell you what I'm going to talk about in this show. It's a very important topic because I think it's something that we have to understand something about Jesus and how he's connected with culture. The name of this, the topic of this show tonight is going to be Christ and culture. Now, of course, it's very important to understand that Christianity is not connected with any particular culture, whether communist, whether socialist, whether democratic, whether monarchy. Christianity has successfully functioned in all kinds of cultures. It's not connected with politics, not connected with culture. But let me go into this this show a little bit of how I'm going to work it. This show is a show. Let me give you some things about the show that I think are important. I myself have a great love of literature and books. And this show is connected with literature and books, whether Russian, Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, Gogol, or English, E.M. Foster, T.S. Eliot, etc. It is connected with literature. And literature to me is a very important component of my life. I love it. I admire it. And I cannot have enough of it. And I say to you, my dear friends and young people, go for the literature, go for the past great literature. Know it, get into it, and you will find it well worth the effort. Next, the show is a Christian show. Although I have, I welcome all races and peoples and ideas and opinions. I see the face of love of Jesus in every single person of every single nation, whether black race, whether Hindu, whether Shinto. They're all valid, and Jesus welcomes them all. I welcome all races, nations, and opinions, because Jesus died for all men, indubitably and actually, without prejudice. Finally, the show has a political component. I'm a conservative, but I welcome the poor. I'm very concerned about the poor because I follow Christ. That is really my goal, following the words of Christ, and his concern for poverty and the underclass and poor. Now, I'm going to talk about those are the three basic hit points of this show, and now I'm going to talk about where I am coming from on this show. And I may do another night on this topic, Christ and culture, because I don't know whether I'll be able to finish it. But let me say this. This is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for political correctness. We don't go in for media lies, media falsehoods, anything like that. We don't go in for the big lie. We go in for honest discernment, critical thinking, and basing our thinking on the great books, whether the Holy Bible, Holy Scripture, or the great books of the past, such as St. Augustine and Tolstoy, etc. So, it's a politically incorrect show, not politically correct. We don't aim for political rhetoric. We dispense with that. We don't want to waste our time on that lie. We don't go in for the big lie, as defined by George Orwell in 1984, Ray Bradbury in Fahrenheit 451. We don't go in for the big lie. We reject it. We try to get at the truth and the facts. Next, this show is a Christian show. But as I said, I welcome all faiths because Jesus welcomes all faiths and all people. He died for all, cast his life on the cross for all. And so I welcome all faiths because they welcome all. They welcome the sign of love of Jesus, and that is where I am coming from. Next, this show has a political component. but I follow, my object is to follow Christ, and Jesus had a significant concern for the poor and underclass. Most of his followers were sinners, better put as ritual sinners and moral sinners. And it was said of him, who is man that eats with publicans and sinners? They couldn't understand why he was running with the wrong crowd. Now, I'm going to now talk about, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a Blog Talk radio show, which is this one. And these shows are Christian shows, but as I say, I welcome all faiths and all kinds of people and all races, because I know that Jesus welcomes them, every one of them, in his love. I don't reject anyone. I don't reject any faith, whether Hindu, whether Buddhist, whether Muslim. I welcome them all because Jesus gives his love to all without question. I have many visitors to these shows. I've had over 4,000 visitors to the podcast show. And many of my dear Muslim friends in the world have visited these shows. In Saudi Arabia, they visit my Blog Talk radio show. Many wonderful Muslim friends who I dearly love and treasure visit these shows regularly. I welcome them as I welcome everyone. And by the way, as far as my Muslim friends or Hindus or Buddhists, I would like to dialogue with them and talk to them and understand them and present the love of Jesus in every way I can. But main thing is I want to talk to them. Very important to dialogue with people, to get into their minds and thoughts. And so I now will continue. I'm a writer, primarily a writer and speaker. I've written over 10 books, Christian and legal. I've written the following Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, an analysis of the 41 parables, which I'm going to do one of these, which I have done on this show many times. Let me say that the parables are the mind and thoughts of Christ. You cannot read them enough, just so you cannot understand the words of Jesus enough, because they are so deep and so profound and so compelling. I read the parables regularly, and the book, I think, that I wrote here has some value, and perhaps you might want to read it someday if you have time. I've also written a book on the Psalms lately, an analysis of 150 Psalms, and the Psalms are the John Donne, the great Anglican poet, said of the Psalms that they are the manna of the church. The Psalms are great lyric poetry. They're Hebrew lyric poetry. I read them in seminary, some of them, and I have memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm in English in Sunday school. I value the Psalms. Their greatness as literature is very great. And you cannot exhaust their depth of their thinking and their spiritual presentation when you read them. I've said this before and I'll say it again. You cannot challenge, if you want to read the Psalms in an English translation, I challenge you to which of you will tire of more, Dostoevsky, War and Peace, or the Psalms. You will not tire of the Psalms. They are so great, and they present the mind of God significantly in the Psalms. Psalms are wonderful. I suggest you take the time. Don't miss out. Read them. Reflect on them. Get a hold of them. Next, I have written other books. I've written a book called Res Gestae and Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written a book on criminal law and procedure in New York Jurisprudence, a legal encyclopedia. I'm writing 4 blog books of my blogs, literary and religious blogs. These 4 books will be coming out soon, and I hope you enjoy them. I enjoy writing because I believe that it is in print. We can only fully grasp anything of value. Mortimer Adler said in How to Read a Book that television, computers, and movies are drugs. And he said the only solution to learning and knowledge is print. The print of, it has significant value beyond one of the images that our society presents to us. Next, I've written a book on family law. It's a book on paternity, a chapter on paternity in New York family law and practice. And it's interesting, and you might find it of value. I've also written three law review articles: Syracuse Law Review, Academicus, and Academicus, and both have been bought by the State Department. And the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure has been bought by the United States Supreme Court, as well as the State Department. And also my articles on Academicus, on the educational system, and on the sexual orientation discrimination, which I abhor. I don't believe in discrimination. I think it's wrong, whether I agree or disagree with the behavior patterns of gay people. I don't believe they should be discriminated against or hated. I think it's wrong, and I oppose it. I wrote this article about it, and it has been bought by the State Department. Both articles in Academicus have been bought by the State Department. And all three of these articles in the Syracuse Law Review and the Academicus, two articles in Academicus, have been bought by many, many, many institutions throughout the world, many, 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 in North America, South America, Africa, Asia. Wherever there are universities, they have bought these articles and books. I'm winding up from my background, which I usually do, because those who do not know me might want to know me. I'm always anxious to know anyone. I want to know what they have to say to me, because everybody has an idea and has a valuable perspective. Tonight I will be talking about Christ and culture. Well, this is a, when I was a student, just give me a minute, I'll go into this article. When I was a student in college and seminary, I read a very interesting book called Christ and Culture, by H. Richard Niebuhr. The author was a professor at Yale Divinity School, and he analyzed and considered the interrelationship and interaction between Christ and culture. I don't have the depth of knowledge and understanding and scholarship that Professor Niebuhr exhibited in this book, but I'd like to offer a few thoughts and ideas about the relationship between Christ and culture. Let's take a look. First of all, I don't think Christianity is attached to any particular culture. It has been involved with many cultures. When it was founded, it was connected with the Jewish religion and culture. The Christian religion became more prevalent in the Greco-Roman world and became connected with the Greco-Roman culture. And St. Paul was had the original task of bringing the Jesus Christ and his thoughts to Greek culture. So it started. The church started out connected with Jewish religion and culture, and then as it grew, it became more prevalent. It became connected with Greco-Roman culture, and finally with Greek culture. So the Christian church, as it grew and extended, it not only became connected with the Greco-Roman culture, but with the European culture in general. The result was the church became so connected with the European culture that many poets, artists, and composers became connected with the church. So let me just say this. Many of the major philosophers, theologians, composers, and artists were church-connected, such as St. Thomas Aquinas, Dante, Milton, Bach, Mozart, and many others. Many people, made a little bit of a mistake and came to believe that European culture was a sole vehicle for understanding the church and its message. That is a mistake. In fact, as things have developed in the past 50 to 75 years, Christianity has moved away from the West and has become connected. It's still connected with European culture, but is now more and more connected with African culture and Asian culture. So that we have to understand, and I'm going to go into this another night, that Jesus is not connected with any particular culture. He involves all people in his message. He is not connected with... At one time, the church was very intimately connected with European culture and Greco-Roman culture and Jewish culture. That changed. And in the present day, the church has now has had growth in China and in Africa and in Asia. It has significant growth. So it's a mistake to think that the Christ or the church is connected with any particular culture. The church is, or in particular for European culture, as was the case for some years, one must understand that the church's function is to present the gospel and bring people to Christ. And that is not a matter of culture. As a matter of fact, I think it's significant that Jesus chose as disciples tradesmen and not educated people or cultured people. The church's function is to bring souls to Christ. And so the church can function in any culture, whether African, American Indian, Asian, or wherever the church may be bringing people to Christ. In fact, the church has no connection with any particular culture or with any form of government. This is very important to understand. The church has no, and Jesus doesn't identify with any particular culture or with any form of government. The church has flourished under a monarchy. It is in Europe, such as the Tsar, the French monarchy and English monarchy, and has always done very well in democratic countries, such as the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and also in other societies, such as the United States and Europe. People who may oppose the church as connected with a non-European message make a mistake. The church has, I want to make this clear, it's very important to understand this, culture is not something the church, or art, or artistic expression, is something the church is not concerned with. The church is not concerned with culture, is not concerned with any particular culture, or any particular form of government. That's very important to understand, that the church is not connected with the government. And so, I'm going to continue this discussion tomorrow night, but I hope I've shed some light on this issue. And you'll find in Chapter 19 in my book, Essays on Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a discussion of Christ and culture. And I can only emphasize that and no one culture is connected with Jesus. No one race is connected with Jesus. No one person is connected with Jesus. No form of government is connected with Jesus. Jesus moves beyond that, and the object of Jesus is to bring souls to heaven with him. I'm going to discuss this matter tomorrow night again, and I hope you'll find it of value. But I think it's very important to understand that the church is not connected with any culture or with culture at all. The object of the church is to bring people to Christ and his love and to heaven. That's not a matter of culture. It's not a matter of any culture. It's not a matter of government. It has no connection. I hope you see my point. I'll be discussing this tomorrow night. Good night.